I think I've mentioned before that I'm never quite sure if it's Augustine or Elisa who's texting me. You did switch phones one time, didn't you? Yes. Okay. Whenever a message comes from you guys. And maybe after church, what I'll do is I'll write down each of your numbers, put it in my iPhone, and that way in the future it'll tell me. However, one of you recently sent me a text message where you said, Anthony wants to ask me, or I'm sorry, said, Anthony, are you hearing this? Can you hear me? It said, Anthony wants me to ask, why and how is God God? So which one of you sent that text message? Was you, Elisa? So did you ask that question, Anthony? It's a great question. Great question. So today I will be preaching Anthony's sermon on why and how is God God, part one. Anthony, it's an awesome question. But so as not to break the second rule of preaching to children, I can't fit this into one sermon. Kids, are you listening too? Do you remember the three rules for preaching to children? What's the first rule? Right. Use simple words. What's rule number two?
Keep it short.
Right. Keep it short. What's rule number three?
Do rules number one and two.
Exactly. See, number one and number two. I'll break rule number one a little bit, but I promise to explain all of the not-so-simple words. However, as I mentioned, this will be a multi-part sermon, so as not to break rule number two. I think it'll actually be a three-part sermon, because you'll see when we get this one, it takes a while to go attribute by attribute and do it. So, Anthony, your question was, why and how is God God? I believe why and how are basically asking the same question, but I did want to quickly talk about why God.
What?
Well, that's interesting. That's why we're going to actually... So I'm glad... I'm going to go into some other stuff too, but that's what I'm going to start off with. Why God? Why is there a God? What necessitates God's existence? And I'll be up front with everybody here. I cannot think of anywhere in... Wait, where's my Bible? Right here. I cannot think of anywhere in the Bible where it answers that question. Anybody else think of it? Anything you can think of? You've read through a lot of it? The Bible, Anthony, and other kids, the Bible, in my opinion, doesn't answer why there is a God because it just assumes, rightly, there is a God. It's a fact. Always has been a God. Always will be God. And I've been through, Anthony, I've read through this entire thing multiple times, and I'm doing it again this year, and I can't remember a single place where it asks the Almighty, hey, why do you exist? Not a single place. Instead, there you go. No, it's okay. There you go. Instead, Let's look at this conversation between Moses and the Lord. Exodus 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 14. Exodus 3 and verses 13 through 14. Can Anthony read? Yep. Not yet. Working on it, though, huh? So, Anthony, it's kind of interesting. Could you imagine, have you guys ever gone to the Richmill Open Space? Ever been there? It's actually worth going to. It's a deer trail, or is it almost a deer trail?
Almost a deer trail on
36. And it's kind of neat to go out there.
Well, in Bennett, it's not 36 anymore. Just keep going straight and hold us.
Exactly. So, Anthony, imagine going to in the woods or out in a field and something, and in the middle of the field is a bush that's burning, but it never burns up. Wouldn't that be kind of incredible? Well, that's what Moses found. And you know, when Moses went to the bush, you know who was talking to him from the bush? Who? God, you got it. Well, this is what we're looking at. Exodus 3:13-14. Then Moses asked God, "If I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what should I tell them?" Legitimate question. Be like, I come to you and I say, "Great to meet you. What should I tell them your name is?" Okay, Anthony, what's up? What? You raised your hand. Did you have a question?
I know what he's going to do.
What's he going to do?
He's going to show Pharaoh some signs, like his staff and then Jerusalem.
You're right. He is going to show Pharaoh some signs. But this is before that. First, he's got to go to his own people. Before he goes to Pharaoh, he's somehow got to talk to his own people and say, "God's called me to do this." So he says to God, "Hey, God, what should I tell him your name is?" Verse 14. God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am has sent me to you." So did you all notice how God tells Moses to say that he is I am? Kind of strange, isn't it? God may have created you for a reason, but God was not created for a reason. Did you catch that, Anthony? God may have created you for a reason, but God was not created for a reason, because God was not created. He just was, is, and will be forever past, now, and forever future. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, we'll keep going. We'll see. No other force created God. He existed before even time existed. If you haven't already heard the term, sometimes God is referred to as the uncaused cause. The uncaused cause. If, Anthony, if your mom walks into the kitchen and your cup of milk has spread all over the floor, did it just fall over on its own? No. It's a good chance somebody, maybe you, knocked it over, right? Or maybe it was Cisco. There was a cause. The cup of milk doesn't fall over on its own. And ever since the beginning of time, there has been a cause for everything that happens. But there is no cause for God. God always has been. So that's what it means by the uncaused cause. Does that make sense to everybody? How about you, Cisco? Uncaused cause? Just been. Okay. God caused everything, Anthony, but nothing caused him. He has just always been. Now, that might seem a little crazy, and it's definitely a bit abstract. It's hard to get your hands around. It's easy to understand a table, isn't it, Anthony? Because you can see a table. But to think of a God that has always been, that's hard for us. However, all kids and Anthony, ready? Do you guys understand the concept of nothing? What is nothing? What is nothing?
Not even air.
Not even air. Right, air is something. You're pretty smart. You're going to give some science teachers a run for their money. What is nothing? Yep.
You know, when the world was all empty and stuff?
God created air. Create everything. Right. Nothing is the absence of everything. Nothing is the absence of everything. Can you imagine what that would be? Nothing? So you shook your head, no, Michelle. Not really. We've never experienced nothing. Never, ever, ever experienced nothing, because nothing would mean not having our five senses. Kids, what are our five senses? Do you know what the five senses are? Here, tell Anthony, look, ready? Hearing. Feeling, right? And
tasting,
right? Nothing would mean none of our five senses are effective. Nothing would mean no thought, no experience, not even imagination. Nothing. We can't experience that, can we?
Closest would be if you were in space without a ship.
But you still would be thinking. And thinking is not nothing, and there still would be light. I mean, even Helen Keller, if you think about it, even Helen Keller, who couldn't, speak, hear, see, she didn't have nothing, right? Right, exactly. There is no way to, smart man. Okay. But even given that, I think we can also, that we all can basically understand what the concept is, can't we? Of what the concept, the absence of everything is. When I was a child, Anthony, I could get a shiver up my spine. Do you know what that means? It's like you think of something and it makes you really uncomfortable. I could get a shiver up my spine by thinking, if there's such thing as nothing, why do we exist? Isn't that a weird question? If there's such thing as nothing, why do we exist? And by the way, I think if I really thought about it hard again now, I'd still get a shiver up my spine. Even then, even, I don't know if I was your age, but maybe Cisco's, but maybe your age, even then, I realized that our very existence, everything that we would call natural, itself is supernatural. Does that make sense? Everything we call natural itself, the fact that it's here, is supernatural. You cannot get something from nothing. And natural law, physics, chemistry, all that stuff they'll teach you in school, it's great stuff, does not logically provide for a physical world that always has existed. It just can't be. Since that would mean time without beginning. And by the way, if you go with time without a beginning, I'll just give you one quick thing. Let's say you believe in natural world only, and then you believe in evolution, right? If time, evolution takes time. So let's say, for argument's sake, to have a person look like Deb, it takes 1 million years. If time doesn't have a beginning, the 1 million years has already passed, hasn't it? Does that make sense? Which means time has to have a beginning. Otherwise, everything that takes time to get done would have already happened. So the physical world can't deal with unlimited time. We should not exist. We should not exist. Nothing should exist. It is illogical that I am standing up here preaching, that you are there sitting, that even a single atom of matter exists or ever existed. The fact that we do exist itself is a miracle. And Anthony, I know I probably lost you on that. Are you there, Anthony? What I'm saying is the fact that we exist itself is, for lack of a better term, magical. It's supernatural. And that is why God is. Does that make sense, everybody? God is because the fact that we exist itself is supernatural. It's a miracle. That's why God is. He is the uncaused cause of everything. The supernatural nature of our existence is most logically explained by a supernatural being causing it. The existence of anything necessitates God. I'll say that one more time. The existence of anything necessitates God. Does that make sense, Cisco? Not really? So my next line, you can see what I wrote here. Does everyone's brain hurt now? The gotcha is we're talking about infinite things, aren't we? It's hard to explain infinite things. But what I'm going to try one more time, Anthony, and then we're going to get on to the meat of the rest of the sermon, is it is actually super. Do you know what natural versus supernatural? Do you understand the difference? Think of it this way. If I'm going to do something. Ready? Did this. Oh, that won't work. Let's try this one. Ready? I just put this on here. Did that take anything magical?
No.
No. Anybody here think that was magical? But if I pointed at that fan there, would you like that back? There you go. If I pointed to that fan there, and just below it, those two things came out of nothing and started hovering below the fan, would that be magical? What? That would be evil. Putting large Legos below fans is evil. Is that what you're saying? But that's what supernatural is. Natural is what I did with the two Legos, right? Supernatural is something that you can't do normally. It comes out of it. So for instance, if an angel appeared here, right like this, bright as day, out of the blue, that would be supernatural. Does that make sense?
Yes?
So what I'm saying is she agreed. The fact that we exist, the fact that you exist, Anthony, proves that they're supernatural, and for there to be supernatural, there must be a God. Okay, I do apologize, especially to the kids, for getting you confused, but I wanted you to understand that those who tell you, this is very important because they'll do this in school to you, either directly or indirectly, Anthony. And if this has not already happened to you, Cisco, I can guarantee it with you. But I wanted you guys to understand that anybody who tells you to only believe in the natural, what you can hear, see, smell, feel, or taste, and not to believe in the supernatural, are ignoring the fact that it is supernatural that the natural exists. Let me wrap this up with a joke that kind of explains it. Ready? Everybody listening? I don't often tell jokes well. I'm going to try with this one. You ready? As we know, our super duper smart scientists are learning more and more about how life works. We can actually change things right down to the DNA level. We can clone animals, and we claim to have a general idea of how life started. Pretty darn smart. So a bunch of scientists contacted the Most High and said, "Hey, God, we don't need you anymore. We can create life ourselves." Our Lord replied, okay, let's see you create man like I created man. If you think you can create life, you create man like I created man. The cocky scientists responded, "Sure, no problem." They reached down, grabbed some dirt to get started. God quickly spoke up and said, "Whoa there, get your own dirt." You get it? Did you get that? That's what it means to be supernatural. Dirt didn't exist before God created it. Nothing existed. Okay. Long start to the sermon. Anthony? But now you understand why I cannot answer your question in just one sermon. Now that we're past the long beginning, let's talk about how God is God. How God is God. And you know what the first non-simple adjective to help answer that is? Incorporeal. Incorporeal. Or incorporeal. Yeah, I think that's how I say it. Because you get the O-R in there. Does anybody know what that means? Incorporeal? There you go. Without a body. Right. My Max Dictionary says, not composed of matter, having no material existence. Ghostly presences in incorporeal beings. So incorporeal means not made of matter. You're made of matter. This podium's made of matter. Deb is made of matter. My wife is made of sugar and spice and everything nice. Which is matter. Exactly, Cisco. You got it. God is incorporeal. He is not physical like us. You, have you ever heard yourself? If you're not sure if you're in a dream or not, you can pinch yourself to see if you're in a dream. Ouch, I'm not in a dream. You cannot pinch God to see if he's real. The first part of this sermon, I did something which I hate doing, and that's depending on human logic almost entirely. From this point forward, let's depend almost entirely on the Bible. So I've said God is incorporeal, meaning God isn't made of matter, does not have a body. How do we know that from Scripture? Let's start with John 4:24. John 4:24. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is what?
Spirit.
God is spirit. Not, this is important, not God is a really tall being with white clothes, white hair, and a Gandalf-like smile. That's not what it says. That's how we picture God, don't we, sometimes? Old, good-looking dude, kind of tall, white clothing, white hair. It doesn't say that. It says God is spirit. God is spirit. Now let's look at 1 Timothy 1:17, followed by Colossians 1:15. So let's turn to 1 Timothy 1:17. Are we there? 1 Timothy 1:17. You gotta admit, Cisco, it probably sounds pretty interesting on the internet to try to figure out what's going on. So if you're wondering, those are Legos going back in the Lego box. 1:17. Yeah. All set. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, now let's turn, before we talk about that, to Colossians 1:15. So a bit earlier, Colossians 1:15. Colossians 1:15. Are we there? Mm-hmm. We are in no rush. We'll still get out early. Colossians 1:15, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What attribute, if you listened or read closely, what attribute of God did each of those mention? Begins with an I. Invisible, exactly, Augustine. Very good. God is invisible, Anthony. God is invisible. You know why he is invisible, Anthony? Do you know why God is invisible? Because he's not made of anything. He's a spirit, right? He's incorporeal. You can only see things that are corporeal. That's why I can see you, Anthony. I can't see God. And no, see, this is where we'll see how many kids are familiar with this. He is not using a Klingon cloaking device. Do you even know what a Klingon cloaking device is, Cisco?
That's from Harry Potter.
That's from Harry Potter. Oh, wait, that's what I should have used. He is not using Harry Potter's
Cloak of Invisibility.
No, that's not what he's doing. Let's read. Let's wrap up this part of Incorporeal with 1 Timothy 6:15-16. 1 Timothy 6:15-16. First Timothy 6, verses 15 and 16. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be the honor and eternal power. Amen. Has anyone seen God? No. I can confirm to everybody that Amanda shook her head, no. Can anyone see God? What? Well, the problem is, see, we think of Jesus, and I'll have to talk about Jesus, because somebody can say, well, you say God doesn't know. Why do you say Jesus is God? Remember, Jesus was fully divine and fully human. So if you see Jesus, you see the fully human part of Jesus, not the divine part. But the Bible says no. Nobody has seen him or can see him. So nobody ever will see him. Now don't get me wrong. God can reveal his glory in ways that we can see. But we can't actually see him because he is invisible. He is a spirit. If he completely revealed himself, the brightness of his glory would destroy us. But that would still not be us seeing a physical being. That is just seeing the glory of the one and only. So, Anthony, are you good with number one, that God is incorporeal, that he's not made out of matter? Are you okay with that? Okay. All the more reason to know that we're not God, right? Because guess what? I can knock on me. I can't knock on God. Okay. Our second adjective, and the last one we'll do today, our second adjective about how God is God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. Anthony, can you say it after me? Say omnipresent. Right. Think of a present and think of omni. Omnipresent. Does anybody know what that means? Nobody knows? I wouldn't use the word always, but it's the right concept. Basically, omnipresent means, I'll go back to the back dictionary of God, present everywhere at the same time. Omnipresent means everywhere at the same time. God, so we said God is incorporeal, doesn't have a physical body, and God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. One of the problems with discussing God is that everything that answers the question, how God, is beyond our experience. We have physical bodies, so how do we imagine not having that? We can only be in one place at one time, no matter, Augustine, how much our jobs might want us to be in multiple places at one time. We can only be in one place at one time. So how do we imagine being everywhere at once? How do we do that? But Scripture makes it clear that God is omnipresent. A couple of my favorite references are Psalm 139, 7-8, and something in Jeremiah. We'll do both. Let's look at Psalm 139, verses 7-8. Psalm 139, verses 7-8. Yep, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 8. The psalmist, so this one does say it's from David. The psalmist is asking a good question here. Psalm 139, verse 7 and verse 8. Are we there? Almost. Okay. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Now let's look at the second one. Jeremiah. So heading deeper into the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 through 24. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 through 24. Chapter 23, Jeremiah 23. Yep. It's interesting. We could get official church Bibles, you know, the pew Bibles, and then I could have page numbers, but I think it's actually good for us to look them up in different versions.
It was 23, Jeremiah
23? Yep, Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. Am I a God who is only near? This is the Lord's declaration, and not a God who is far away. Can a person hide in secret places from where I cannot see him? The Lord's declaration. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? The Lord's declaration. Can you flee from God? No. Elisa shakes her head no. Augustine agrees with his head, and then Cisco speaks up, and you're all right. Can you hide from God?
No.
No, because he fills heaven and earth. Because God is everywhere. Because God is, what's the term for God being everywhere? Do you remember?
Omnipresent.
And by the way, you will see as we continue through these different attributes about God, you'll see how they fit so tightly together. Like a hand and a glove. If you think about it, to be omnipresent, you would have to be a spirit, wouldn't you? You can't be physical and in every place at one place, right? So, and for instance, being omnipresent and omniscient, which we'll talk about next week, omniscient, they fit right together. And that's the neat thing about God. He does make sense. It may not make sense to us because we don't have the idea of always existing. But once you get past that, the things that are true about him make sense. They fit together. We'll do more about omniscience next week. Our three rules of preaching kids were, use simple words, right? Keep it short, and see number one and number two. Hopefully, I fulfilled number one by defining the words, the harder words. And in order to fulfill number two, we're going to stop here and continue with Anthony's sermon on why and how God is God next week. I suspect, Anthony, keeping to rule number two means we're going to have two more parts. We'll see. So what did we learn about God today, Anthony? We learned two things, two adjectives. Do you remember what it is? Okay, first one was God is incorporeal, which means that God is not made out of matter. Can you say incorporeal? You got it, incorporeal. I like the expression on your face when you say it too. Say, let's say it one more time. God is incorporeal. Which, tell you what, for simplicity's sake, which means God does not have a body. Right? And the number two thing we learned about God was that he's omnipresent. Say, God is omnipresent. They're very good, which means he is everywhere at once. Everywhere at once. We also did learn that he is the uncaused, the great I am. But I'm not going to make everybody's head hurt again by getting back into that. Next week, we'll probably start off with omniscient. But only God knows for sure, because, well, God is omniscient.